Hello, and thank you for joining us for this local history program as we review the Depression years, the second Depression in the Lake Macquarie District. The Western economy began to show signs of decay in 1928. Men began losing work. Commodities began to become scarce. In Lake Macquarie in that year, we saw the mining lockout.
Well, the Miners' Federation, occasionally when they had funds, they would issue vouchers. I forget what the married men with families, they'd get so much for each child. But a single man's voucher was 18 shillings a fortnight. But that was only on rare occasions that they received that. They didn't get the money. They took the vouchers to the store where they dealt. Most people dealt from both places, the Boroo Co-op store that went out as far as Toronto, Cardiff, Warners Bay, Boroo and Spears. They would be issued with a credit note and they'd be allowed to book up goods for that amount. Wolf used to put his voucher in on his mother's account, and that would be his board for a fortnight if he'd pay 9 shillings a week.
Now, when the Depression came, there were lots of what you call side works going out for the grants from the council to different men, and what I can gather, they get around about 6 bob a day for doing it, 6 or 8 bob a day.
Many families found survival anything but easy. Albert Hawkins recalls one way people could receive a meal.
Yes, we had soup kitchens around the place here to assist a lot of people. And that was their way of living, and we used to employ a few people on short days, half days, something else, give them $1, $5, to come with us for half a day, we'll give this sort of chuck off, we'll chuck on the load to start. $5. We couldn't employ them permanently because we wasn't getting very much for the jobs, but money was hard to get. But in 1932 and 34, we'd put most of our horses out in the paddock, and only kept the absolutely minimum horses that we wanted, and the lorry that we had at that particular time, we just kept those in work, and they were on mostly sanitation job and a bit of garbage, and that's the way we fostered on. So I decided that I'd make a bit of a move somewhere. Everybody's depressed. I was depressed myself. So I decided to build 3 or 4 houses, and I built them down in 4th Street with the first ones.
Work was scarce, and governments and councils in many areas of New South Wales provided relief work. Government paid the wages. Council provided the materials for work. Former council member George Jury takes up the story.
Quite an amount of unemployment during the Depression, and the local council started relief work. And depending upon the number of people that you had in the family, that's your wife and so many children, you got so much work. For instance, to illustrate the point, if you had 3 children, well, you got 2 days' work a week. If you had 1 child, well, you only got 1 day's work a week on the council relief scheme. Those are not the actual figures, but that would give you an idea as to what happened. Council put a drain through this town during the Depression days, a concrete drain, and similar works were done throughout the shire to relieve the under. The government supplied the money and the councils worked the scheme.
The Lake Macquarie area was divided into work areas or zones. In charge of Zone 5 relief work was George Killay.
Mine extended from Marmon Creek, West Walls Inn, Mount Sugarloaf, Cardiff, Bullaroo, Tralba, Burrigal.
What sort of men were on relief work?
Very good. I'd say 90% of them were very good men, unfortunate to be caught up in it, and they done their best. They had their little off days, the same as everybody else, but 90% of them were real good men.
What about some of their backgrounds?
Well, most of them were miners. Some came from working in shops, all sorts of industries, where they were retrenching. Used to come out to the lake to live. A lot of them built boat sheds around the lake and lived in them and put up shacks to be near the water and do a bit of fishing in their spare time.
Men were allowed certain days' work depending on their need. A family man received more work than an unmarried man.
Well, depend on the size of the family, mainly. A married man with a wife, he got about 2 days a week. A big family, he got 4 days. That was the maximum.
And what would a single man earn a week in comparison to a married man?
I think a single man, the dole at that time, was about 5 shillings a week.
And what could a single man earn on relief work?
Well, I don't know, because the single men, most of them were rounded up and taken away onto jobs out in the country.
So we don't know what really happened to them then?
Well, we know they came home at the end of the year. I don't know what happened to them when they were away.
What would their work have been out in the country, George?
Road work, mainly down the southwest. The lot that I had, they went down to a place called Howlong, I think, down the southwest, and working on main roads there.
So that would have been pretty hot work. That, how many hours did they work?
8 hours. 8 hours a day. They'd work 5 days a week. Well, if we got a drunk, we didn't let him start because he's likely to get hurt. But the others, they were pretty good. If they wanted to put on a bit of a strike, we used to just let them have their strike, lock the toolbox up and go on to another job. They'd be back the next day to start work.
Did they lose time for that?
No, they were a lot of 2 or 3 or 4 days a week. As long as they'd done the 3 or 4 days, if they didn't do it, they lost out, of course. And they had to work the time that they were given, and most of them did.
George Gillay commenting on council relief work in Lake Macquarie. Running a business was not easy in the Depression years, as Frank Wrightson found.
It was a daily business, running to and from Newcastle. And a parcel was worth sixpence to deliver. Other things went up to so much a hundredweight. And according to where you had to take it and the size of it, the weight of it, and that sort of thing, so you made a charge on that. But the whole area, we might have to run out to Mayfield or Lambton to collect something or deliver something from here.
And there was plenty of work in the Depression years?
No, there wasn't much work at all. It was only just on the bread and butter line, really.
T.C. Frith also found running a business difficult. Through the Depression years and war years, not one staff member was dismissed. Credit was extended to customers, a dole or food coupon introduced by government. Harold Frith comments.
For a long period of time, we weren't reimbursed at all. At one stage, payment was made by the state government of New South Wales, and from memory, they defaulted for quite a long period, so much so that I had to go to Sydney to see if I could get a payment of the debt that was owing by the government. Fortunately, I interviewed the secretary of the deputy premier, and I was able to come home with the check, which was greatly appreciated by my father. I think it was several hundred pounds, but I couldn't tell you whether it was 4 or 5 or 6 or even up to 900, but it represented quite a long period of time and must have been to all people a very financial embarrassment, the delay in being paid.
And in dealing with your customer, you could not give all the goods they wanted.
Actually, the Depression, from the grocer's point of view, except that he could not give people more than they were required, there was no shortage of food supplies. In the war, there was a shortage of food supplies and coupons, and the fact of the matter is, the war was much harder to run a business than the Depression. We had no trouble in getting the supplies. The fact was that the people, when they come to get their supplies, were all cut down, and the government were very, very severe and very strict on what they could get, and you weren't allowed, theoretically anyhow, to break what they want. But you must remember that we were there to serve the public, and we adhered to the law as close as we possibly could, and if we broke it, we only did in the interest of the customer.
Although many found themselves out of work or under threat of being retrenched due to business failure, employees of Thrift did not have this worry.
We maintained our staff right through the Depression. We thought at one time that we would have to go in and they would perhaps take a week or two off. But to the best of my memory, we didn't carry it on, except I think that over the whole period, the staff lost 1 week. It's a long time ago. And I think we had the same staff probably at the end of the Depression as we had at the beginning of the Depression, because people that worked for Frith did not leave Frith, and that's long and short of it.
Harry Frith commenting on the Depression years and the hardship of maintaining a business. Mrs. Joyce Bagnall continues.
Well, everyone was poor in those days. Nobody had any money, but we did have a lot in common. We all pulled together. There was dances and home entertainment like table tennis. And Mr. Richardson had a home on the waterfront, and he used to have table tennis tournaments. We used to all go there, you know, and win prizes and that, which was very nice. He was an insurance inspector. Butter was rationed, meat was rationed, clothing was rationed. I'll never forget one time, this is down Sydney, not here, but I was at a friend's place and I said, my mother's making me pyjamas out of curtains. And the fella's eyes popped, you know. He was imagining the curtains you could see through, but they were satin curtains. But you couldn't buy pyjamas or anything like that, you know, clothing much, and you just had to make do with the best you could.
I think it was more difficult when you had the coupons. And I'd say to my son, well, it's before he went to the Naval College, 13, and I'd say on a Wednesday, would you go down to the butcher's and get me, you know, so-and-so, a nice piece of silver size? And he used to look at me and he'd say, Mum, you can't have that today. You haven't got enough coupons. And I remember that more.
Some families found those years not so difficult. Joan Matthews comments.
Oh, well, my father was on the war pegs, so we were better off than most of them. But at 16, you got this, well, all the young unemployed fellas and girls got 15 shillings a fortnight to live on, in it, like food coupons. You had to get them at the shop. And I think once a year, we used to get what they called a dole parcel.
What's a dole parcel?
Oh, a piece of material and a pair of shoes that was like pit beds. And the first thing I used to do was throw them away. Oh, it was funny. But we used to make the material up into a dress. It's terrible, isn't it? But when I tell my children about these things, they say, oh, Mum, I don't think they really believe me. But it was true.
Times were very hard here in those days, and this was purely a coal mining centre, as you probably know. And times were very hard during the Depression days. The coal mines, there's one down the bottom of the road here, would work probably one day a week. Very few kiddies that went to school in those days had shoes or boots. They all went with bare feet. And things were very bad. People had very little to eat. And most of what they ate, they grew in the backyard.
George Dury. Albert Hawkins decided to create some employment.
So I decided that I'd make a bit of a move somewhere. Everybody's depressed. I was depressed myself. So I decided to build three or four houses, and I built them down in 4th Street with the first ones, down there at the bottom end of the Charlie's place there. Yeah, about £350 each.
You started building houses at that time, Albert. How many houses did you build and whereabouts?
About 40.
And whereabouts?
Round the town, round the Spears Point, Albert Street, Alley Street, Barford Street, Spears Point, Main Road, Bullaroo. You'll see 6 or 8 or 10 of them. And all decent homes, built them because I wanted to make a bit of a boom come along, which it did. It stirred it up a bit. It was good enough for me to do it. I went to the bank to got the money, and I told them I'd pay their rents into the bank. I didn't want nothing out of it. Paid the money that we got into the bank. And that's the way we started that. I went to the brickyards, and I said, I'd take the 200,000 bricks they got in the kilns. And they were downhearted. They said they had to lay the men off because they were just burning that heap of bricks, and that at the finish. They had no further orders. Well, I said, we'll take that lot. We'll take 3 or 4 kilns after that. I went around about 300,000 to 400,000 bricks. He said, is that right? I said, yes. He said, what are you going to pay for them? Cash. I'll pay when I get the bricks. Is that right? Yeah. I said, broadcast it around the place. Get us out of this bit of a humbug that we're in the present time. Nobody wants to. Somebody's sitting on a few quid somewhere. Stir it up. And that's the way I've done it. All of these houses you can see today, and I'm pleased to say that they've built up the town. There's only little bits of shacks part of that, bits of shacks moving around. And I left the stand of the place, and I think I built around about 100 houses finished.
Albert Hawkins commenting in this local history program produced for Lake Macquarie Municipal Library on the Depression years. For further information on this subject, contact your local branch library.